Welcome to the podcast of Life Change Church, where we exist to love people to life change. We hope that this podcast is both challenging and encouraging to you. Enjoy the message.
All right. Well, hey, good morning. We are jumping into a brand new series entitled, I Want to Be Rich. Before jumping there, just want to remind you of a couple things going on tonight. So tonight we do have our student life. Again, that is at 5 p.m. That's for students in grades 6 through 12. So if you know a student in those grades, make sure they're here tonight. If you've actually never checked it out, it's been amazing. I was just talking with Caleb, who's our student life director. They actually are just getting ready to like celebrate a year of when their team came together and kind of started this up. And there's about 20 students that are coming in on Sunday nights about 5 p.m. And a lot of these students are students that don't even come on a Sunday morning, right? So they're reaching out to different ages and different people that would never, ever get to know Jesus. And it's just amazing to see all that God is doing through student life. So again, I challenge you, if you know a student, make sure they're here tonight at 5. And then also we have our partnership class, which at Life Change, we don't have membership, we have partnership. So we believe that there's a way really just to connect, and we are all in this together. So partnership class tonight is at 6 p.m. It'll be back in the actually secondary room. So I challenge you to come to that. If you've never been through the partnership class, come to that. And I will tell you this, it's not like you're signing with blood when you're coming with a class. You can walk out and you don't actually have to sign anything. You can just learn more about the church because we go over really what we believe. We go over some of our structure as a church, even the finances, and we go over really kind of our mission and our goal as a church and how we can all partner to do that together. But before we jump in, so right now we are jumping into this series entitled, I Want to Be Rich. And then what we want to do is go through this, and we want our different understanding of rich. But I think when we all come in here, we kind of have a mindset of what rich really means. I mean, think about it. When it says, I want to be rich, some of you guys are thinking like, oh man, here's like a name it and claim it type of series. It's not going to be very good. Like, I'm wondering, what am I doing? What's going on here? Because when we say, I want to be rich, we think, man, we're going to be rich with finances. We're going to be rich with stuff. We want to be rich with materials because that's kind of the way we think. In fact, I think we approach life like the game of Monopoly. We get rich by getting more things. We get rich by getting, right? So let's just go through this and get a little interactive. How many of you guys, when's the last time you played Monopoly? See if you played Monopoly like in the last year. Has anybody played Monopoly in the last year? Two people. Three people. All right, good. How about the last month? Two people. All right, how about like the last week? We're going to narrow it down. Greg is an avid Monopoly player, apparently. So, Greg, let's go over this. What game piece were you? Typically the car. And then the real question is this. Did you win? Always, right? And how did you win? Pure skill. Let me just say, pure skill of getting, right? When we play Monopoly, we play to win, and we play by getting. And I'm going to be transparent here a little bit. And I'm sure nobody can relate to this, but maybe you've played the game in Monopoly by winning and it's been more than just skill. Maybe you've actually cheated a little bit. I don't know. We're just going to throw that out there. But I'm going to say once I did this, right? So I'm a colorblind. If you don't know that, I'm colorblind. So a lot of colors look exactly alike to me. In fact, I had a hat one time for 4 years. I thought it was gray. Turns out it was green the whole time. And my parents were like, hey, I'm looking for my gray hat. And they're like, what gray hat are you talking about? I'm like, my gray hat. It was a White Sox hat, my gray White Sox hat. They're like, dude, that was green, Corbin. I'm like, well, why would a White Sox hat be green? What is going on? Well, really, kind of transferred over to me cheating in Monopoly once, because if you know anything about Monopoly, the 10s and the 100s look exactly alike. I'm pretty sure they look alike to people who aren't even colorblind. I don't really know, but to me, they look exactly alike. And I'm going to say, once I was the banker. I'm not allowed to be the banker too many times, but once I was the banker, and there were some times where I was supposed to get a 10, but I may have gotten 100. And there was times where the other people were supposed to get 100, but they may have gotten a 10. And you're thinking, like, there's still zeros there, Corbin, you can read. But that's not the point of the game, right? The point of the game is to get more. We want to do that, right? And you're looking at me like, dude, I can't listen anymore because this guy's crazy. So maybe you didn't cheat quite that bad, but maybe you cheated more in the kind of the form of, like, the bartering or the bargaining portion of the game. Now, I know that you guys are thinking, like, that's not part of the game. But for some of you thinking, like, dude, that is the best part of the game. When the game gets towards the end, all of a sudden you start, like, really bartering with each other. Say, I'll trade this for that. And we know that we've all taken advantage of our little sibling or our older sibling or our niece or our nephew, right? And, like, tricked them into giving us some amazing piece of property for something really dumb because they're just desperate at that time, right? We've all cheated probably in that way. And why? Because the whole point of Monopoly is to get more. To win, we want to get more. And we want to get rich as fast as we can in Monopoly. And I think too many times in life, we approach life the same exact way. We think getting rich and being rich in life is all about grabbing as much as we can and as fast as we can. And we put all our hope in becoming rich. We put all our hope really in the what, the things, the material things. We put our hope in dollars. We put our hope in cents. We put our hope in the real estate we own, the investments we make. If you look at it, God's really telling us there's a different way. So if you have your Bibles, go with me to 1 Timothy. We're going to spend some time in chapter 6, verses 17 through 19. So 1 Timothy chapter 6, verses 17 through 19. And if you don't have a Bible, again, we always plug the YouVersion Bible app. Incredible resource that you can put on your phone so you can read your Bible every single day. It can be with you in the downtime of when you're waiting for a meeting or when you're waiting for something. You can just open it up. There's reading plans that you can read right there. In fact, if you follow us on our social media and our Facebook, we've been promoting a different reading plan each week on each Monday. So it's a way really for us as a church to read the Bible together. We want you to read the Bible more than just on a Sunday, but it's got to be an every single day thing so we can grow in our relationship with God. And this passage of Scripture is one we're going to go over the next few weeks. So this is one I want you to kind of highlight, maybe mark down, maybe even write out, put somewhere where you see it every single day. And it says this, 1 Timothy 6, 17 through 19. It says, "Command those who are rich in this present world not to be arrogant, nor to put their hope in the wealth, which is so uncertain, but to put their hope in God, who richly provides us with everything for our enjoyment. Command them to do good, to be rich in good deeds, and to be generous and willing to share. In this way, they will lay up treasure for themselves as a firm foundation for the coming age, so they may take hold of the life that is truly life." So in this passage of Scripture, here's Paul, and he's actually writing to Timothy. And if you don't know anything about Paul, Paul, again, was a guy who was persecuting the early church. And then all of a sudden, he had this amazing encounter with Jesus that changed everything. In fact, that encounter with Jesus led him to becoming one of the biggest advocates for the church. In fact, he even started numerous churches. And in this passage of Scripture, Paul's writing to Timothy, who's overseeing some of those churches that Paul started. And he's writing here, and he's kind of just giving him some warning about these people who are overly rich. They're super rich, and they actually have these arrogant attitudes that can danger the church. Now, as I read this, and I look kind of where we're at, I don't necessarily think that there's too many of us that are so overly rich that we have these dangerous, arrogant attitudes that are really a danger to the church. But as I read through this, I see that it's really an easy trap for us to focus on the riches of this present world over the treasures of the coming age. And because of that, this is what I want us to walk away with today. And this is what I want us to understand from this passage of Scripture. It's more about who you are rich in than what you're rich in. It's more about who you are rich in than what you're rich in. Meaning our relationship with God should even cause us to redefine what it means to be rich. When we look at our relationship with God, when we evaluate it, it should cause us to think through what the meaning of rich really is. And even on the flip side, our definition of rich, when we think about what it means to be rich, our definition of rich should cause us to examine our relationship with God. Because the rich in the present doesn't necessarily mean rich in the eternal. And we really dig deep into it. It's less about our bank account, but more about who we account to. It's more about who you are rich in than what you're rich in. I think the problem for many of us, though, is that we search for being rich in the what. It's really a trap that we focus on being rich in the present world. And in all seriousness, I think a big portion of that and a big portion of us are really impacted really different times and different ways and different levels of feeling some economic pressure and pressure really for being rich in this present world. I mean, it really, if you think about it, it almost goes back to when we were little kids, right? I remember growing up and I think, man, one of my dreams, I was going to be rich one day. Like, in fact, this was a dream that many of my friends that I hung out with when I was a little kid, we all dreamed of being rich one day. We had pictures of sweet houses or sweet cars that we were thinking about, like, man, I'm going to own that one day. Now, both my parents were teachers, And then my sister was wanting to be a teacher as well. So it was kind of like destined for me that I was thinking like, oh, Corbin, you're just going to be a teacher. That's just the career path you're going to go. But I remember thinking as a kid, like, I don't want to be a teacher, right? I want to be rich, so I'm not going to be a teacher. There's no way I'm going to be a teacher. So I started making plans for other things. I was going to go into business. For some reason, numbers made sense to me. So I was thinking like accounting, which I don't know how rich accountants get. But I'm thinking like, I'll be an accountant. I'll be a statistician. I'll do something in the business world because I want to be rich, right? I'll own my own business, and I'll do something, and I'll take tons and tons of money, right? I'm not going to become a teacher. I'll get into finance, and I want to be rich because I was dreaming about like these sweet cars. I had pictures of Porsches on my wall, like these posters of Porsches, Lamborghinis. I was dreaming about having a hoverboard and a hover car, obviously, because Back to the Future back then was what the future was really going to be like. And I was dreaming about all this, and I wasn't going to be a teacher. Now it's kind of funny. I became a pastor, so I basically became a teacher without summers off, and. But I look at it, I'm like, man, that was my desire. I wanted to be rich. I think really many of us, what do? We want to be rich as well. We've probably all been to that point. Maybe we're even there now where we want to be rich, and we want to be rich in the things. We want to be rich in the what? I mean, think, what do? We all strive to get a nice home, don't we? We all strive to have a nice home. We strive to have a home in a great school district with excellent schools. We strive to even gain equity in that house once we own it for a while. Then we all seek to have a nice car, right? We all need, we call it a need. But our need for a car goes from just getting a car from going to point A to point B, but we want a car that like blows cold air when we're hot, blows hot air when we're cold, that like has GPS systems in it, links up to our phone, that does all these different things. We want a car that has a backup camera. We want this, right? We need this. But what we're striving for is we're striving for the what? Again, I think we strive for the latest and the greatest tech items, don't we? Like Google Home. We strive for the iPhone. The iPhone 10's coming out. Listen, there are some of you right now that you're already saving $1,000 for the iPhone 10, which doesn't do much more than what any other iPhone did before, but you're still thinking, man, it's the iPhone 10. I'm going to strive for that. The I whatever. You put an I in front of something, it's going to sell because people will strive for that, and we all do that too, right? I think for many of us, we strive for these amazing vacations. Not like once in a lifetime, but like once every single year. And honestly, for many of us, we look around like, man, we've achieved those things. We've got those things. And if you look at it, many of us, we really are rich in the what? Stats show that if your household income is $37,000, you're in the top 2 to 4% of the wealthiest people in the world. And if your income is combined income is $48,000 a year, you're in the top 1% of all wage earners. I say this, and these stats mean absolutely nothing because if we look at our lives, maybe we meet these stats, but we just don't feel rich because we're striving to be rich in the what. And when we strive to be rich in the what, it leaves us feeling even poorer. In fact, for many of us, it's even left us in debt, which we're going to talk about in a couple weeks. And why? Because we're striving to be rich in the wrong thing. We're striving to be rich in the what. We're striving to be rich in those material possessions, and it leaves our hope being in the wrong thing. Many times it's even really a thrill of gaining more money. And I think when we do that, it leaves us our hope in the wrong place, and it even leaves us feeling arrogant and becoming arrogant. When we look for the enjoyment and the what, it leaves us putting our hope in wealth, which is always uncertain. Again, go back to the Monopoly card, the Monopoly game, right? It's like pulling the chance card out. When we're putting our hope in the things, when we're putting our hope in the material possessions, it's like pulling a chance card and just hoping it's going to benefit. And hoping it's going to be something like hoping we're going to pass go and receive $200. But there's some other chances too. There's times where it may throw us to jail. It may throw us where we're paying out money. It may leave us really, really leave us failing because that hope is uncertain. I think too many times we place our life, we place our hope in uncertainty. We place our hope in things like the stock market. We place our hope in things like the real estate market. We place our hope really even in our careers. We place our hope in our bank account, and all that is uncertain. And when we're rich in the what, we end up feeling troubled. We end up feeling even arrogant. Our joy is taken away. We end up being a killjoy, and we end up empty. Because when we're rich in the what, when we seek to be rich in the what, all we do is take. All we do is take. And we chase after that, our hearts become full of greed. And Jesus warned us against this very way of thinking in Luke chapter 12, verse 15. Or he said this. He said, "Watch out. Be on your guard against all kinds of greed. Life does not consist and an abundance of possessions. There's so much more to life than just the what. There's so much more than life to life than just the material things. Life is so much more than just in an abundance of possessions. And our joy was never meant to be found in these things. Our joy was never meant to be found in material items or possessions, but always it was meant to be found in God. God is the only one that provides for us and provides everything for our enjoyment. It's more about who you're rich in than what you're rich in. And to live this out, to experience this joy that can only come from God, what we first need to do is we need to place our hope in God. We need to hope in God. Instead of putting our hope in the riches of this world, we're called to put our hope in God. And when our hope lands on anything else, we're missing out. And if you go back to verse 17 in 1 Timothy here, it says this. It says, command those who are rich in this present world not to be arrogant, nor to put their hope in wealth, which is so uncertain, but put their hope in God, who richly provides us with everything for our enjoyment. We need to put our hope in God. In fact, God is the only one, only thing, only person who is even worthy of our hope in the first place. And God sent His Son to live a perfect life for each of us because we couldn't live a perfect life. Then God's Son died on a cross to pay the penalty that we all deserved, but we would never be able to pay. But not only that, it never ended there. He was risen again to give us new life so that we could have hope. We could have hope, not just for the present, but for the eternal. He's the one who deserves our hope. So think about it right now. What is your hope in? What are you looking to fulfill your expectations? What are you looking to fulfill your desires? You really think about it. For you, think, are you looking to your career to fulfill those expectations? Are you looking to a spouse to fulfill each and every one of those desires? Are you looking to friends to maybe meet those desires? Maybe it's even looking to the church. Maybe you're looking to the church to fulfill all those expectations. Listen, if you're looking to any of those things, you're set up for failure. For many of us, I think it's easy for us to place our hope in something else. It's easier for us to place our hope in someone else. But we're called to place our hope in God. Hope in God. And we just need to evaluate what our hope is. I mean, think about it. If we get crushed emotionally, or if we lose our temper, or if something breaks us, we need to evaluate why that happened. Were we placing our hope in that thing? Were we placing our hope in something other than God? To be rich in Him, we need to place our hope in Him. Psalms 147:11 says this. It says, the Lord delights in those who fear Him, and those who put their hope in His unfailing love. The Lord delights in those. The Lord delights when we place our hope in His unfailing love. And listen, I want to place my hope in something that's unfailing. We need to hope in God. Number two is this, we need to extend ourselves. And this means that we need to be good, and we need to do good deeds, and we need to be rich in good deeds. And it really, it's an extension of how we want to be treated. And to do this, we need to extend ourselves, to go beyond just our comfort zone, right? Extend our riches in the form of good deeds. Again, verse 18, it says, command them to do good, to be rich in good deeds. And we have to extend ourselves to do this. We have to get outside of our comfort zones. We have to get outside areas where we feel completely just relaxed in. Sometimes it goes from being just relaxed to sharing and stretching ourselves. I mean, think about it. What would happen if we did things that were for the benefit of others? What if we modeled who God really was through the way we acted? Listen, it would be a stretch for all of ourselves. And that's what we're called to do. We're called to extend ourselves to do good. So think about how you can do good this week. How can you extend yourself to go outside of what you're used to doing, just the regular routine, to help others and to extend yourself to do good and to be rich in good deed for others? For you, maybe that's taking a friend out this week and even paying for them, right? Maybe for you it's buying a gift for someone just because. And I'll just give a hint and a freebie out to all you husbands. You can do good deeds for your wife, right? You can give them a gift just because, right? Just to extend yourself and do something different. Maybe you just need to write a thank you card and send it out in the mail for somebody who's done something for you in the past and just to express that gratitude. Extend yourself to do good and be rich in good deeds. Maybe for you it's offer to clean or cook for someone. Maybe someone's in the hospital, or maybe someone that just had a baby, maybe just whatever, cook or clean for someone to extend yourself and to do good deeds. Maybe it's picking up a piece of trash when you're walking on the sidewalk. Right? I think we've all walked by a piece of trash when we're on the sidewalk, and we just continue to walk by. But you know what? We could extend ourselves. We could bend over and pick that piece of trash up and throw it in the trash can, right? Hold the door open for someone. Give somebody a compliment. Give somebody a compliment, like, not in a creepy way, but like give somebody a compliment and in a nice way as well, right? I think these are all things that we can do, but they all really require us extending ourselves. Maybe it's even to serve here at church, right? To extend yourself to serve on a Sunday morning. You can be a part of our serve team. We'd love that. But it's going to look different from your everyday routine. It's going to be a stretch. You should extend yourself to do good and to be rich in good deeds. And then next is we need to lavishly give. And what this is just living a life of generosity. In verse 18, it continues on and it says that we are called to be generous. We are called to live open-handed, right? We're called to live open-handed and to be unselfish. Live a life of generosity and to lavishly give. What's amazing about living open-handed is this. The same way, when we give, our hands are open, right? But guess what? When we receive, our hands have to be open as well. To lavishly give means our hands are open. And when we lavishly give, God provides more and more for us because He can use us as conduit. He can use us as a funnel to provide for others as well. But we have to be willing to lavishly give. We have to be willing to go above just the bare minimum. We have to be really willing to go above what's expected and to live true generosity. Proverbs 11:25 says, a generous person will prosper. Whoever refreshes others will be refreshed. Think in your life, how can you be generous? What's an area in your life where God is calling you to lavishly give? Maybe for you, maybe it's a commitment to make a financial commitment to the church. Maybe for you, it goes outside the church where you just need to make a financial commitment to help somebody else outside the church, whether it's buying their groceries, whether it's paying a utility bill, whether it's just blessing them with a check or blessing them with a gift card, whatever it is. How is God asking you to lavishly give, and how can you make that happen today? Because when we lavishly give, we become rich in Him. And the last one is to partner with others. To partner with others, we really have to share. In verse 18, it goes on, it says, and we are willing to share. This is the description of those who are rich in Him. Willing to share, willing to partner with others, willing to partner so much so that we're sharing in responsibilities, we're sharing in knowledge, and we're sharing even in possessions. Again, we partner as a church because we share these responsibilities, and we have our partnership class tonight. Our partnership class, really, we go over and we talk about how you can share in the responsibility of the church by bringing and inviting others, by creating a welcoming place for others, right? And by welcoming all, and really by helping each other through praying for each other through relationships and building up those relationships together. Again, if you're not a partner, we would challenge you to come tonight. Maybe that's what you're called to do today after you're listening to this. Maybe God's calling you to be rich in Him, and one of those things is to partner with the church. We have our partnership class at 6 p.m. today. Maybe it's to partner with each other through sharing of knowledge. And this is why we do life groups, right? The leader of the life group, yeah, they're the one that gives all the information. But you know what? When we do life together, when we share our experiences, what we're doing is we're sharing knowledge with each other. You're sharing life with each other, and it creates people, and it helps us to become better. And it really builds up our lives because we become rich in Him. So I'll challenge you to partner with each other by sharing in your knowledge. Maybe for you, that's life groups. Maybe for you, maybe that partnering with each other at workplace, right? Instead of like thinking everything at work is a competition, maybe God's calling you to come alongside one of your coworkers and even help them succeed as well. And we partner with each other through sharing of possessions. Again, this goes back to lavishly giving, right? But maybe you just need to extend yourself. You need to lavishly give, and you need to partner with others by sharing what you have in an abundance way. Hope in God, extend ourselves, lavishly give, and partner with others. And again, this spells out help. What we're called to do is we're called to help. Instead of just taking, instead of focusing on the what, instead of trying to be rich in the what and taking everything that we can, God says to focus in on Him, be rich in Him, and help others. Help Him further His kingdom. Help Him further His mission so that others experience the love of Christ. See, when we just take, when we're just focused in on the what, it's always going to end up meaningless. We're always going to feel like our life has no meaning whatsoever. In fact, Solomon even warned this in Ecclesiastes 5:10. He says, whoever loves money never has enough. Whoever loves wealth is never satisfied with their income. This too is meaningless. I think if we're honest with ourselves, we've probably experienced this before. We've experienced this feeling of meaningless when we chased after the what. We may have got a new car, and man, it's amazing for like the first 2 weeks, but all of a sudden that new car smell wears off. And then we're thinking, oh man, now I got to pay for this. Here comes the payment, right? And you're thinking, like, this is meaningless. I go to work every day just for this stinking car because I'm chasing after the what. But God's calling us to so much more. He wants us to be rich in Him. And when we're rich in Him, and when we're helping others, meaning and purpose arrive. We have a firm foundation for the coming of age. And our riches go from temporary to permanent. And our hope goes from uncertain to certain. Again, verse 19 of 1 Timothy. It says, in this way, they will lay up treasure for themselves as a firm foundation for the coming age, so that they may take hold of the life that is truly life. Take hold of a life that is truly life. Think about your life right now. Are you truly living? Imagine what it would look like if you were truly living. Instead of just riches, what if we experienced treasure? Treasure that would extend for all eternity. Treasure that would be laid up as a foundation for all we do. Truth is, I've never been to a funeral or even done a funeral where they talked about how much money the person had. I'm willing to bet you probably never been to a funeral like that before. They never talked about how much they earned. They never talked about the lack of what they earned. But instead, what did they talk about? They talked about the things they did. They didn't talk about how much they took or how much they had taken. They talked about how they helped others. They talked about how they were really trusted in God. There's some of the most amazing funerals are funerals that are celebrations because they had hope in God. Some of the most amazing funerals are the ones where you see people who had extended themselves and they were rich in good deeds. It didn't matter what their bank account was, it mattered what their account was and who they were accounting to. Stories of people who gave lavishly, who lavishly gave and just lived a life of generosity. Stories of people who partnered with others. In fact, I've been to funerals where they've been packed out because they were partnering with all these people. They made an impact with it. And it was never because of their bank account. It was never because of what they were rich in, but it was always because of who they were rich in. And when I think about this, this is what I want my life to be. I think if you really dig down, this is what you would want your life to be as well. It's more about who you're rich in than what you're rich in. So my challenge for you today is to help. To hope in God, extend yourself, lavishly give, and partner with others so that you can experience a life that is truly life.
Thank you for listening to the Life Change Church podcast. If you are here today and you're listening and you made a decision to follow Christ, we would love to hear about it. Or maybe you're here and you're listening and that God is asking you to make the next step with whatever that it is in your life. We would love to hear about it and partner up with you. If you would, go to www.mylifechangechurch.com and under the media section, please fill out the contact us information and let us know if you made a decision to follow Christ. Let us know what God is asking of you. And if you need prayer, we would love to partner up with you in prayer as well. We hope that you enjoyed the podcast and that it both encouraged and challenged you. Have a great week.